I'd like to welcome everybody. It's good to see everybody. I'm excited to continue to work through this letter written by this guy named Peter, who got to spend a lot of close time with Jesus. So this is really interesting to see that what he is talking about is often, you can see it's just him reflecting on what Jesus has said. Like, you can find this in the Gospels, and we'll see some of that today, where we can just kind of picture Peter reflecting back onto his time with Jesus and what a game changer that was for him. And also because we see that Peter's life is coming to an end, and how this is playing into what he's writing and what he's saying. So hopefully this will be meaningful to you as we go through this. We are in 2 Peter. This is the second week of that. We're going to finish up the first chapter today. And then next week we'll do chapter 2 and the following week chapter 3. So let's go ahead and get through this. And we'll start with verse 12. We're going to start here, and then we'll go back into the earlier verses. And then we'll spend a majority of our time just on verse 12 and 13 and 14. So that will be how it looks today. All right. So it says, this is Peter, it says, "Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you have been taught." Okay, so we're gonna spend a lot of time on this section here. And the thing I love is this, we constantly see "therefore." We constantly see a life lived in response to what God has done. And Peter is, you know, not deviating from that pattern. Right, we always see "therefore" comes after some facts that have been stated about who God is. Christianity isn't something that we muster up on our own. Instead, it's a response to God. It's a response where we choose to believe that Christ has paid that penalty for our sin. And as we choose to believe that, the Old Testament predicted and the New Testament states that it changes our heart. And as you sense your heart going astray or hardening, as the Bible talks about it, then I can tell you that what you've done is you've lost sight of what Christ has done. And as we focus, as Rob started off saying, and as Sarah was saying, as we focus on what Christ has done, that is what starts to change our heart. So anyway, he says, "I will always remind you about these things." I'm just going to stop there and talk about an article that I read this week that was fairly interesting, because I think it's significant. You know, Peter talks about growing in knowledge and how important that is and the significance of that. But you see here that he's talking about reflecting on what they already know. And the article's title was something like, "If you want people to grow spiritually, stop telling them to study the Bible." It was meant to, you know, get your attention so you read it. But the point of it was, if you look throughout Scripture, you see way more references to meditating on God's Word than studying God's Word. Isn't that interesting? Because what do we think, like, the apex of your Christian walk is, you know, the Greek and Hebrew studying of Scripture? That's good, and I'm not going to argue against that. But it's interesting that the Bible talks a lot about, and we see Peter saying here, how about chewing on what it is you do know? Sit there and just, especially, I mean, this is more relevant than ever. Again, I think about this. Pumping gas, We don't even stand there and just pump gas. What do we do while we're pumping gas? Even though the warning label is there, I think the warning label is fake anyway. But the idea about being on your cell phone while you're pumping gas, I don't know. I mean, I've never seen anybody blow up because they're on their phone. Maybe it is true. But anyway, my point is, I'm not telling you not to do it. Let's stay focused. The point is, even pumping gas, what do? Sit there. We rarely just stop and give some space in our mind to just think, let alone think about God and Christ. Okay, so just think about that fact about how little space we have in our lives to just think. Because Peter's saying that they know these things and they're standing firm in them. And by the way, they're standing firm in them to the point where some of them may be being killed for standing firm in it. So he's saying, I just want to remind you about these things. And and this is also refreshing for me because sometimes I feel like I say the same thing every week. I mean, some of you probably agree with that. But Peter's telling us that's what we should do. Like, there's not a whole lot more to just focus on than Jesus. So anyway, he says, therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you've been taught. So what are these things? Well, just go up the previous verses, and I'll just highlight a couple of them. Go ahead. So if you see in verse 4, anyway, he's given us great and precious promises. Okay, these are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Okay, so the first thing is we have these promises. And so let's think about those. Go ahead. So what I'm going to do right now is just list through 4 or 5 promises. And I want to say this first of all. I'm going over these because, you know, Peter's telling us to focus on these. But I really think there can be danger in taking verses of the Bible when we take them out of context to say something they don't say. Okay? So when we're using promises of God, I tried to pick ones that are straightforward. So let me give you an example of one that I see misquoted and misused all the time. And I think there's danger in that. So in Philippians 4:13, it says, for I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, so you heard that verse, right? That's a promise from God. So we use that totally out of context. Like, we use that to, okay, God, you can give me strength to do really well at this job so I can get lots of money to do lots of things for myself, to be completely self-focused, okay? Listen to the verse in context. In light of how we use it, either to win games or to earn lots of money, listen to what Paul is saying. He says, how I praise the Lord for you and are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you don't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content in whatever I have. I know how to live with almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What's Paul say he can do? He can learn to be content in whatever his situation is. I have rarely, if ever, seen that verse used in that context. I have only seen it used to get much, not to be content in little. Are you following along with what I'm saying? So promises of God you have to be careful of. But let's go through them because Peter's telling us to remember these. It says, can you go back, please? So in James 1:5 it says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Okay, so there's a promise that if you need wisdom, ask God for it. And remember, wisdom is determining right from wrong oftentimes. Next one. James 4:7 says, so humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So, you know, if you're dealing with you feel demons or Satan just trying to get your attention, humble yourself. Excuse me, humble yourself. Go ahead. Here's one, John 3:16. Okay. This is a promise from God. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone or anyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's a promise. Okay, a promise just as much as the other verses. Okay, next one. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything. Okay? Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace. There's the promise, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart, or will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So anyway, next one I think is blank, right? Go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry, one more. Along those same lines, in 1 Peter 5, 6, it says, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, He will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries or anxieties and cares to God, for He cares about you. Okay, so go ahead, next one. So you can see there's hundreds of other promises. And what I'm telling you is that Peter is saying, this is what you need to think about. Put your mind on these things. Okay? Why is it so important that we focus on the promises? You're going to see as we go through this. Okay. 1 Peter 5, another thing that I think he's telling us to remember says, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Okay, so this is what he's saying. And remember, he goes through this list. He goes, supplement your faith with, and he goes through about five or six things ending with love. Okay? Okay, these are things to remember. Go ahead. And then in verse 8 and 9, it says this, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you'll be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, think about that. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their old sins. Okay, so to me, this whole section is boiled down into two things. It's forgetting and remembering. Okay, I'm telling you, this is so significant. As we go through this, I hope it really hits you that when your life, when you don't have peace and your life is just in turmoil, in other words, I'm saying like internally, you just know things aren't right. I just wonder if it's because you forgot, and that you forgot that you've been cleansed from your sins. Okay, I challenge you with that. I challenge you that instead of forgetting, you remember and you start thinking about God's promises and see what impact that has on your life. Okay? And see if you can start to be content in any situation. All right, moving on. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth. Okay? Again, he's reminding them of those things that we just talked about. Go ahead, verse 13. Go ahead. So, I'm sorry, I'm going to get to 13 in a second. The point I want to make here, and I'm going to go through quite a bit on this topic, is some things we are to remember and some things we are to forget. And let me tell you this. By default, we remember what we're supposed to forget and we forget what we're supposed to remember. Think about that. It's like the downfall of humans. You know those times you've been wronged? Okay? Or those times that you've screwed up? Okay, when you are at the gas station and your phone is in the car, what do you sit there and maybe think about? Those things that you shouldn't be thinking about. Okay? By nature, we tend to think about what we shouldn't. Okay? And so when I say remember, I'm talking about remembering the right things. Okay? And by the way, I feel bad. I don't know why I just keep going to youth and all this stuff, but is anybody else thankful that their whole childhood isn't recorded on Instagram or something like that? Like, I'm glad I can forget about those days. For you guys, you might want to hit the delete button and pretend it never happened, especially when you do have kids. Okay, moving on. Because my kids have no evidence of what a jerk I was. So I'm just saying, it's beautiful. So listen to Philippians 3:13. It says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. And the it that Paul is talking about is right above this verse, is talking about being perfect. He's saying, I haven't achieved perfection. He says, but I focus on one thing. And what's Paul saying? Forget the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. So you see, there are times to forget what's behind you. Okay? Now, it's good to learn from those things, but let it go and press on, okay? All right, so let's focus on remembering, and I know you can't see that, but that's the title of that's the cover of a book. I've mentioned it before. It's called Awe. It's by Paul Tripp. I'm going to reference several things from that book, because this book is just, there's several sections I'm talking about just remembering to be in awe of God, okay, and how he describes it as having amnesia. All right, here we go. So the first thing that Tripp talks about is this, and I thought this was important to recognize. So why is this significant, first of all? Why is there a war waging for our attention? Okay, as believers, why are we at war where an unbeliever doesn't have this battle? And I believe, I'm going to address this next week as well. Rob hit it right on the head. I believe that there's this war because we are God's instruments here on earth to show his love. We're his church, okay? If his church can be rendered ineffective, Satan wins. Did you guys hear that? Okay, if we are ineffective because we forget who God is, that's a victory for Satan. Because God is choosing to use us as his instruments to participate in building his kingdom here on earth. And we cannot do that if we forget who we are in Christ. And instead, we just live a life of being offended and revenge and getting revenge on people. That does not establish God's kingdom here on earth. So the only way we can establish God's kingdom here on earth is as if we remember who we are. It's so important. I mean, think about it. Peter is getting ready to die, and he's telling them, okay, here's what you need to do. You need to remember who you are. Because remember, Christ has spent so much time with Peter telling him, hey, through you and those who believe in me, this is how we're gonna move forward. Okay? So I said a war wages over who or what will rule or control the awe capacity. In other words, so awe capacity is like something like glory or what has weight in your life, what has significance in your life. Because remember, everybody has something that's significant in their life. Again, just to reference kids, if you're under 15 years old, that's Fortnite. Okay, for everybody else, there's something there that has significance in your life. Okay. So the control the awe capacity that God has established within the heart of every human being. Did you guys catch what Sarah said? We're made to worship. We are going to worship something. And guess what? If we forget who God is, we will not worship him. Which means something else will now have weight and something else we will sacrifice for. There is stuff that is significant, and because it's significant, we sacrifice for it. That is called worshiping. We all worship something. So what he's saying is the only way to worship God is to remember who God is. Remember who Jesus is. Okay? All right, go ahead. So, so this goes back to 1 Peter in my mind. I'm sorry, yeah, it does. We're looking, this is 2 Peter, okay? It says, forgetting, and it says that they have been cleansed from their old sins. Okay, what is being cleansed from your sins? That is grace. Do you remember the first letter? Peter said, therefore stand firm in the grace that God has given us. I'm telling you, this all goes together. So if we don't stand firm in that grace, meaning if we don't remember what Jesus has done, then we're forgetting. And if we forget, we're going to worship something else, and we now have no longer been effective for God in building his kingdom. All right, let's keep going. Go ahead. So it says, the war that rages in our hearts is a war between the all of God, and he boils it down to the all of self. So in other words, you're either prideful or you're humble. And just remember, what are you by default? Prideful. It is much easier to be in all of yourself than to God. I'm going to give you an example where Peter forgot who Jesus was, okay? And I'm going to read through a large section of Mark because I feel pretty confident that Peter is sitting there thinking about this, and I'll prove my point as we move through the rest of this. Okay, so stick with me. Okay, it's kind of a long section here, but tell me at the end of this if you don't think this is what Peter's thinking about as he wrote this. Because remember, this guy walked with Jesus for years. Okay, for like 3 years, he spent intimate time with him. Okay, so let's read this now in light of that. So, Mark 9:2 says, 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John. So he had his 12 disciples, and then he had his close disciples, and then he had his one. Okay, Peter was his one, and this is his band of close disciples, Peter, James, and John. And he led them up a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed, and his clothes became dazzling white, far whiter than any earthly bleach could ever make them. Then Elijah and Moses appeared and began talking with Jesus. Okay? Peter exclaimed, Rabbi, it's wonderful for us to be here. Let's make 3 shelters as memorials, for one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He said this because he didn't really know what else to say. Note to myself, when you don't know what to say, shut up. Peter didn't know that either, so I feel a little comforted. So Peter just said something and because he didn't know what to say, and they were all terrified. Okay, moving on. This story should sound familiar to you. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my dearly loved son. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, Moses and Elijah were gone, and they saw only Jesus with them. As they went back down the mountain, he told them not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept it to themselves, but they often asked each other what he meant by rising from the dead. Okay? So I'm skipping some verses, and now I'm down to verse 30. Okay, so this is Jesus' transfiguration. It's a major event, and they didn't really grasp what was going on, but it was significant. And now let's go to verse 30. Leaving that region, okay, they were just in, it says, they traveled through Galilee. Jesus didn't want anyone to know he was there, for he wanted to spend more time with his disciples and teach them. Stop right there. Just make a note there. Jesus would talk to the masses, but there were times when he didn't want to deal with the masses because he had to deal with just individuals. I think too many times we're eager to just, if a lot of people are going to listen, then we think that might be what's best. Jesus didn't work that way. Sometimes what was best was to build into just a couple. Okay, think about that. Then he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies. He will be killed, but 3 days later he will rise from the dead. They didn't understand what he was saying, however, and they were afraid to ask him what he meant. Okay? Next. After they arrived at Capernaum, and settled in a house, Jesus asked his disciples, what were you discussing out on the road? But they didn't answer because they had been arguing about which one of them was the greatest. Okay, time out right here. They just saw Jesus being transfigured. They just heard from God, his voice, one of the few humans ever to hear God audibly speak. They're with Jesus. Jesus is talking about his end is coming and he's going to raise from the dead. And they're out there talking about who's going to be number one in the clan. What is their default? Self. If these guys can default to self, then any of us can default to self. Are you with me? This is a major issue. And you knew they were embarrassed because they didn't want to tell them. But this is human nature at its finest, in a bad way. He sat down, called the 12 disciples over to him and said, whoever wants to be the first must take last place and be the servant to everyone else. He's laying down the foundation for how the new kingdom is going to be established as servants. Okay? Okay. So, the war that rages in all hearts is a war between the all of God and the all of self. You see it right here. Now, okay, go ahead. Remember that. I'm going to come back to that story in a little bit. God specifically and carefully designed the physical world to reflect Him to be a glory scope. That's what Tripp called it. That our poorly seen eyes so desperately need. Okay, so Tripp is now laying down the foundation that we're forgetful, but God is doing His all to cause us to think about Him. So again, we're in some ways we're at a huge advantage, in some ways we're at a disadvantage. We're at a huge advantage in that when you just study how a fertilized egg becomes a human, you have to be in awe. Okay, that's something they didn't have advantage of. Again, I've talked about this before. A guy who has his PhD at Yale, and he was doing him and his buddy invented the MRI machine, and he was doing the coding for the MRI machine so that they could get information about an embryo in the early ages. And this doctor was talking about how the embryo develops into a human, and he would just kept saying after each phrase, he would say, it has to be divine. Like in other words, how molecules line up this way make it so that the material that makes up your eye is invisible so you can see through it, but when it's this way, it has enough strength to withstand the pull of your muscles. Like, how does that happen? And he's like, it's divine. Like, there's no explanation. So we can be put in awe of God today, just like they were put in awe of God just by walking outside, which we don't have the advantage of, and looking up at a night sky and seeing the stars. Again, when I was in Papua New Guinea, and that was one of the most amazing things, was just seeing the sky. Okay, it puts you in awe. Why is this that way? Well, it's meant for us to constantly, the Bible talks about, constantly put us in the thought of, there's someone behind this. There's a designer behind this. When I teach biology, I just keep going over the information. As I teach, I constantly say, guys, think about how well we're designed. Like, it's not by chance that we have these incredibly big molecules that exist really well at a low pH in our stomach, but if they're in a pH of 7 in our body, they denature and don't work, but if our enzymes that are here are put in our stomach, they don't work. It's mind-bending. It's divine. Okay, this can't happen by chance. But what have we been told? That we are here by random chance, by molecules randomly hitting together in such a way that they started to produce design. Guys, that's not possible. It's equivalent to the hurricane going through North Carolina and going down and saying, why, look at this house that was built from all this wind and rain. It just put together these trees in such a beautiful way. I now have a mansion on my lot. That doesn't happen. It will never happen. We don't get order out of randomness. It doesn't happen. Anyway, we can be in awe. Listen to this, Psalm 19:1. So maybe these are some things that we need to be thinking about. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display His craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. They're speaking to us. They want us to remember because our hearts are prone to go away. They're speaking to us. Night after night, they make Him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. Okay, it's clear. It's this. Take some time. Take some time and just see God around you. Okay? Because remember, we're going to forget. Go ahead. The concerns of this present, of the present demands and present world, can so dominate our minds that we have little mental energy to remember Jesus. Unbelievable. I think about this. Again, I'm sorry that I'm venting, but I just have a lot of thoughts on my mind. Why don't we have a lot of time? We have a washing machine and a dryer. I have to do nothing to get my clothes clean. My dishes, I don't have to do. I just put them in this little square and they're clean. Right? Like I don't have to make a fire to cook my food. Like I can do a Pop-Tart in 7 seconds in the microwave. How do I not have time? What is going on? What have we done to fill up our schedule so much that we don't have any energy? Like, it's a big week if I think about God once or twice. What is going on? Okay, listen, if we don't think about what Jesus has done, just remember this, Satan is cheering us on. All those things that you think are so important, they're not. Remember, end of the game, we die. Okay? So, whatever it is that we're consumed with, just step back for a second. Think about it. Is this significant? Or are we, as Peter said, being short-sighted? Okay, moving on. When blindness combines with amnesia, nothing good results. That's, again, from Tripp. Okay? Think about that. Okay. He lists some symptoms of what blindness and amnesia produce. I listed 5. He listed like 12. Think about this. Self-centeredness. If you're not living in all of God, you're left with no higher agenda than to live for yourself. Okay, I think we've said it 400 times today. Okay, it's so true. Entitlement. Once you think you're entitled to it, you'll think it's your right to demand it, and you will judge the love of God and people in your life by their willingness to deliver it. Yikes. How many people have been disappointed with God because he hasn't done what you thought he should be doing? You're entitled. You've lost focus. Okay? Sometimes I wish I had the nerve when people were telling me their goofy thoughts. I would just be like, you know, you're being entitled. You've lost focus of who God is. It's probably, man, I'd be, I guess I don't need to be harsher. I should be more loving. But anyway, 3, relational dysfunction. When we put people where God should be, and because we put people in a position they never designed to fill, they always disappoint us. I think Bob might be addressing this in his marriage class that's meeting here on Wednesdays, like it's 6:30 or something on Wednesday evenings. So think about that. It's kind of all connected, right? It's going to be really hard to have a successful marriage when you've lost focus of who God is and you've put your fulfillment onto your spouse who can't fulfill you. It's not their job. That's God's job. Control. You will tend to want too much control, too much power, and be too trusting of your own wisdom. Okay? Some of us, myself included, think you know more than you do, right? And that's not good. Okay. Envy, when we forget God's goodness, I am unable to live a grateful and content life. Think about that, right? You start to envy what other people have. And again, I think this is rampant in our society, right? I'm going to keep saying this until someone believes me. I find it fascinating. I used to look at my wife's Facebook page once in a while. I don't have Facebook, so I look at hers. And I'm telling you, I can't tell you the number of times I would see couples that were like, they look like they just had these amazing lives. I was like, well, I want to be them. And then like the next post is, you know, we're separated, we're living in separate homes now. Guys, what they put on there is fake. It's not real. So that's the first part, is when we need to remember, God has me exactly where I need to be. It may be a hard time, but that's how I'm going to learn at that point. I don't need to look at someone else and say, oh, I need to be where they are. No, I need to be where God needs me to be, going through whatever it is I have to go through. So when we forget, we become envious. Okay, so hopefully this is kind of coming all together here. Let's just think of this verse one more time, because I think there's so much to it. Therefore, in light of everything that was above it, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you've been taught. Go ahead. Now we get to the next verse. And it is only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. He's not going to give up on it. For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life. So I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I'm gone. Again, remember, I'm going to die. Remember. What do you think is important to Peter? Remember. Okay? Okay, so we're going to finish up here. I'll go through these verses fairly quickly. But think of them in light of what we went over. All right, verse 16. For we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes. What's he thinking about? That event that we read earlier, transfiguration, okay? When he received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice from the majestic glory of God said to him, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." We ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Okay? So he's there's so much here, but I'm just going to stick with this. He's thinking about that moment when he saw Jesus for who he was. Okay? And remember, he's now on the other side of the resurrection. So now he can look back at this event with meaning to it. Okay? And notice, too, he forgot. He didn't include the parts where he was an idiot. That was good. He's moving on. Right? He's pressing forward. Verse 19. Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shines in your hearts. Okay? So again, you see there about paying close attention. And next week, we're going to look in more detail on that. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding. Very, very important point. Or from human initiative. No, these prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. What we're going to get to next week is this right here. False teaching flows from the minds of men and women. Truth flows from the heart and mind of living God. Okay, we need to, we cannot forget that. Now, let me go back to what I was saying, because that's the last slide. Let me go back to this point. So Peter, remember he was talking about the seeing Jesus for who he really was on the mountain, okay? And then, do you remember what happened, verses below? They forgot who he was that quickly, okay? Or they didn't understand it. Something happened. But do you remember that he was arguing with the other guys who was going to be the best? So I really believe that that probably hit him really hard, that he's sitting on this side of that event going, I can't believe what a knucklehead I was. How did I forget who Jesus was? I heard God's voice. It was so clear. But why would I be arguing with the other disciples about who's the greatest? The only explanation is, I forgot. And I think that's why he wrote this in this section, is he doesn't want us to forget. Because remember, you're going to forget. And that's where, when we do forget, we need to take Paul's advice and say, okay, you forgot, don't worry about it. Get back on the path. Let's go. Let's pick it up where you are. And that's what I want to encourage you with. Don't sit there and think about all the dumb stuff you've done. Okay? It happened. Learn from it. Now, let's get moving. Because remember, we do have a job to do here. It's not to make much of your kingdom, but to make much of God's kingdom. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for your word. I pray we do remember. I pray that we do think about it. I know there's many times where my mind is on other things. Lord, we need to remember who you are, what you've done, and who we are in light of that. Help us respond to that, and as a result, be effective at building your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.